Jason. I'm muted. What's up, everybody?
Should we do it again?
No, let's just run with it. Do you want to do it again? Yeah. That'll be a cold open.
I totally forgot about
that. You know what? That'll be the cold open.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, including a special episode for you this week. Usually, when we start off the show, we do a little bit of a layout as to what we're going to do in terms of news and sports, entertainment, and odd news. But for this week, we're going to do something a little bit different. And it's something that we really haven't explicitly done before
right.
for the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And that was an idea that we had that we wanted to go back into the Crispy Noodle archives, dig in, search through the vault, and go over some past interviews that we've had, because we've been very lucky here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We've interviewed some celebrities, some comedians, some
friends, some
wannabe politicians. You know, we've had a very interesting run when it comes to special guests that we've had here on the podcast.
Yeah, the whole gamut. We've been very lucky to have some really great people on the show, and so we just wanted to, you know, pay tribute to that and reflect on some of our favorite moments with our guests.
Yeah. So we went into the archives and we dug out interviews to replay for this special episode. And I think it kind of fits because we have one for each segment of the show that we usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. We sort of broke it down on, you know, per segment. And this first segment normally be the sports sampler, but we're changing things up. We're focusing more on the fun and games aspect of sports. And this first interview that we have lined up for you guys, we talked with some old friends, Marissa and John Urbano. We went to high school with Marissa,
yep.
which we'll get into in the interview. But we also play some games with them, and our conversations go all over the place, all different subjects. But most importantly, focusing on their music. They recently appeared on Fox. Did you know that?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So,
on The Q.
Oh, The Q, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So very exciting for them. So we figured we'd re-air this interview with Marissa and John Urbano from episode 174.
Right here at the Crispy Noodle headquarters, which is really Mike's kitchen.
My kitchen.
But it's still good.
Live from the kitchen.
Live from the kitchen.
It's a nice kitchen.
It's a nice kitchen.
Very nice.
Folks, I want to introduce to you guys John and Marissa Urbano. How you guys doing?
Thank you. We're good.
Yeah. Get up a little closer to the mic.
A little closer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's not used to this fancy stuff.
Yeah, right?
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. So, my first question is, how did you guys get into the music business, and what made you guys tag team up for this effort that you guys have going with your debut album? What's the debut album called again?
Royal Family.
Royal Family. So how did this even get started? What was the start? What was the catalyst that was like, you know what, we should do this together?
Well, all right, so we
had... I love how she just looked at you. Yeah. She was just like, you and your turn.
Well, he would probably give me some...
What
about it?
Hoo-hoo.
No, because...
is that a code for curse word?
Woo! Pretty much, yeah. No, well, because... only because we talk about this all the time, and there has been discrepancies before. A little bit of sibling rivalry a little bit, but no, I think John, because he really started off, should start off with and I will definitely give that to him. It was he started it all, and he's
okay. Yeah, now he's smiling. Yeah,
I'm gonna give him. I'm gonna give him the credit on this. So,
by the way, you're the Marissa's older, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
maybe I don't know.
She's the leader.
Am I? No, I'm just.
I guess. Yeah.
Pretty much.
So how did this get started?
All right, so this got started. I was making hip-hop music before, and Marissa was an EDM artist.
Yes.
Everyone always liked the songs that we did together the best out of, like, everything. So, like, we had other like, I had a mixtape. She had songs that we dropped together, but everyone liked the songs that we did together the best. And everyone was always like, oh, like, you guys need to work together. And we always, like, the songs that we made together – I personally really like those songs, and I think that from my opinion, I think that those are the best songs that I've ever come out with. Like, that was my best. She brought the best out of me.
I feel the same way. Yeah. We definitely, our best work is together. But I was actually, you didn't even give yourself the credit. I was going to give him the credit. He started recording first. He was very, very persistent. And I think anything in life that you really love or you want to go after, it's really, and I saw this, it was a quote, it said, like, it was an iceberg, and it had, like, hard work, persistence, diligence, like, all the things below the surface.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
all you saw
the iceberg.
Yes
yeah.
And then all you saw on the top was success. And that's really, like, what John, he did. Like, he was 16 years old, and he was just very, very persistent in the recording studio letting him record. And then they finally just said, all right, like, yes, come in, record. So then he went in, and then he said to me, all right, well, why don't you do a hook for me? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, ah, come on, like, do it. And then I did it. And then I kind of got addicted.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We enjoyed it. Like, it's one of those things, like, when I was young, even, like, I loved doing it. I just loved making music. And she loved it too. Like, she's been singing. I know, you know, she's been singing for years, and she's always loved it. And I always love her singing. So getting her on the track.
He's a great
rapper
too. So
thank you.
Yeah, I love my brother. He's great.
I love you too, Rizzy.
That's really like that's how nice. It stems too, because we really are best friends. So it's easy to create something together, and that's what a lot of people like. They'll hang out with both of us, and they don't even realize that sometimes we're brother and sister, because they just think like we're friends.
Yeah.
And like when they first meet us, and then they realize, oh, okay, they are brother and sister, and like. You know, and then, we show them
the music.
Yeah, and they're kind of just like, wow, like, I see why. Because you guys have that, like, bond, that chemistry that works well together to create something that meshes and can be played together.
Yeah. And now you've gone all the way with this album. When can we expect to download the album? When is it coming out? How can we get our copy of it? Because I'm very interested to see how this tag team tandem works in the EDM music scene.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting that you say tag team, because I always do that hashtag, like, literally.
She's all
anytime,
about that. It's crazy.
I'm always like, hashtag, like, tag team Urbano, hashtag, dynamic duo. Like,
wrestling,
Yes, you know. We're on the same wavelength with this, for sure. We're set to release September 13th, which is not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. We have our own website, so it's just urbanomusicgroup.com. And then we also have physical copies that we're making, so we can give you one if you'd like that.
I would not reject a free copy of this album. Yeah,
free anything. Right?
But I, you know what? I think we shouldn't hold this off any longer. You guys gave us an exclusive clip to play from the album, right?
We did.
What's the song title of this?
Happy Hour. This one's called Happy Hour. This is a party track.
Now we're talking.
Obviously it is a party track, but we always, you know, take responsibility in the lyrics that we're putting in, because some people, you know, they kind of water it down. But what we wanted to get across, I mean, we still want it to be catchy and people could sing along. It wasn't like too much to digest, but basically we want, we want to get across to people that working, it seems to be consuming a lot of people's lives lately, like in this generation. And it's hard. It's like tough with jobs out there and everything. And I think that more people need to have fun and like, just go out there and just like, be present in the moment. And that's what we wanted to embody with this song, and just like spread some good vibes and help people relax a little bit, because I think that's really important. Happiness, and you know, we get to live that every day with our music, and you know, we want to spread that to other people and kind of.
And you want a club banger.
Yeah, and you want a club banger.
Go out, have a good time.
Yeah, everybody in the club is going to get tipsy.
Yeah,
that's
as Jay Kwan would say.
So I think we should get to it. I want to hear Urbano.
Yeah, I need something to help me relax and unwind and just let loose a little
bit.
So let's play this exclusive track here, Happy Hour by Urbano.
Mirrors, I'm a back on my tight. Do I need to spell it out? Each message I write, hooks, knockouts, quick. You would think it was a fight. I contact her, she don't get it on sight. We connect so nice, this space like Skype. Don't lag, take shots like a marksman. Scope your friend when a blaze like an arson. She's on fire with the way her back arching. It's a full moon and she got the hounds barking. Left, right, left like a military marching. Man, it's how she bought, she rocking like Harden. Wanna play games, we'll lick like Darwin. Survival of the fittest, and the night's just starting.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for giving us this exclusive listen.
Guys, that was
really?
Awesome.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm addicted. I want this.
Yeah. It's very catchy, very upbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, I can see this being played in a club easily.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Not to say that I'm the expert on club music. Not
by any stretch of the imagination am I an expert on club music.
But I do like this. I could see this... Like, out in the club, I could see this.
It's very easy to picture it being played in clubs.
Right.
Thank you.
I could see it on the radio, like, you know, getting ready for your Friday night out.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah. We want to just pump people up. We want people to be happy and just, like, spread that, infectious kind of feeling. So we're definitely glad that you guys enjoyed
Bring
it. I mean,
up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Good vibes.
I definitely want this free copy, so you better live up to this. No.
Oh, I promise. I promise. Cross my heart. Hope to die.
I also like the rap where you mention survival of the fittest. Way to throw in some science.
Yeah.
I love it.
There has to be some, you know what I mean? There has to be substance with the rap. There's just too much rap where people are saying nothing. If you're going to rap, at least just say something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
Have fun with it, too.
Yeah,
it sounds like you guys are having fun on this track.
For sure, yeah. We had
so much fun to make this song.
So much fun to make the whole album, really. Yeah. I mean, we actually had around 15 songs, and we just kind of picked 11. Our favorites.
Our favorite ones. Mm-hmm. We were just like, these are our favorites, let's put them together.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I mean, we just, each and every time we went in the studio, it was like, oh, this one's better. Oh, and this one's better. Like
literally every single song.
Every single time.
Like, oh, this is our new favorite song.
Even
a new song, I'm like, no,
this is our favorite. Yeah. Like, so, yeah. I mean, even though maybe it's not to everyone, like, you know, everybody's, like, favorite, like, you know, each week as we...
We enjoyed it.
Yeah, but we enjoyed it. And I feel like that's, like, so special to the person making something. You have to, like, love what you do, so... We had a blast making the whole album really together. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, if that is indicative of the whole album, I love it. I want a copy of this. I want to blare this on my weekends out.
Thank you.
As you should. We will hold you to that.
Yes.
We're gonna hold you to that.
All right.
We'll all go out.
Right. Hey, yeah. SmackDown's coming back.
Yeah,
right?
We're going.
So this is weird. All of them are into wrestling, and I'm just sitting here like, what are you guys talking about?
Well, we'll have to coordinate for a night out for SmackDown. But yeah, to get back to the album, there's something that I do want to ask. How do you start off compiling and writing these songs? Do you have like the beat first? Do you have a message that you want to get out first? Like, how do you get the ball rolling on something like this?
That's, like, so interesting that you say that, because a lot of people don't think about that. Like, they just think, like, oh, it happens, and, like, oh, it's, like, so easy.
Magic.
Like,
you just snap your fingers.
Exactly. And it's done. Like, oh.
There's a magic auto-tune machine,
so
right?
So simple. The files are in the computer. So simple. That's a Zoolander. Anybody out there like, what? Yes. No, Zoolander Place. Quote. But, yes.
So hot right now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But John really does a great job. He's really the main focus of grabbing instrumentals. I mean, we both go over them.
In, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he is better at finding them. My niche is not that so much. Sometimes I find one here and there, and
she
likes it.
But,
he usually finds the beats, and then we'll... you know, listen to it. Usually the hook is first. I just, you know, I'll be like, okay, I'll listen to it. And then sometimes it just like comes out and then I sing it and we're like, oh my gosh, like that's it. And then we build it all around that. Like, because it's kind of the vibe or like the feel of the song. Like we kind of think about, okay, what is this making? How is this making us feel right now? Because I feel like a lot of people, I think everyone, I mean, everybody lives through their sensory experiences. So, like, if it's going to make you feel a certain way, you can connect with it on a deeper level. We try to grasp that and really kind of run with that and then build the lyrics on top. And then he kind of
just goes in.
Yeah. And then he goes in and, you know, sometimes we have concepts and then we hear a beat and we're like, oh, this would be great for, like, this concept.
Yeah.
And then we try it out, see if it fits. If it doesn't fit, then we go back to the drawing board. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So has there ever been any issues where you guys maybe have clashed on in the making of this album? And if so, who has won this argument? Because I'm interested. I'm interested to see this.
What do you think, Riz?
Defers to me, putting all the heat on me. That's okay.
Good
no, I mean, I think with anything in life, like, you always want everything to go, like, super smooth and, like, but that's not life. Life isn't, there's no
especially
thing.
Siblings.
Yes. Yeah. There's no, exactly. There's no such thing as perfection. Like, you can create your own perfect world, like, where, you know, certain things, like, fall into your category of, like, perfect. Like, oh, you have a job that you love. Like, oh, that's perfect for me. Like, that kind of thing. But, I mean, yeah, there are times when, you know, we have, like, clashed over something, but
never like, it's not what people think. Like, it's not like a clash. It's not like,
yeah,
you know,
it's not like,
it's just like, it's like,
yeah,
hey,
it's not like
I
SmackDown,
like this,
really.
Like,
no, yeah, this isn't wrestling. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we always like work it out in the end. I mean, we never, what's something really good that I'm like,
well,
super,
we like the same, we like, like the same stuff, so it's not like, oh, like this is, you know what I mean? No, I want to use this beat, I want to use this one, because we both have different ideas for certain tracks, but
it's more like the lyrics, like what fits better or like something
and
like that.
It's always
that.
Something real small too.
It's real small.
It's
always
like that's
it's
crazy.
Always a nitpick kind of situation.
It's like, no, we need this word here.
Something
it's a little, you know what I mean, a little thing that no one would care about. No one.
Yeah, but us. Like, yeah.
But
we
care
about
it.
Yeah. Something that I'm super happy about though, like whenever we go to the studio, it's we're never at odds. Like we always like squash it like right either if it's right before, then like right before we get in the car to like drive to Philly, or you know, we squash it days before or whatever.
Yeah.
But very minor things, like he said, like it could be like the smallest thing, like that's not the pitch, and it's like, no, this is the pitch. It's like, no, like you're off a like one half step of a note, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, what does that mean?
Sometimes
like,
I don't like.
Yeah,
I'll try to put it in
a
way,
something like
but it won't make sense. You know what I mean? I'll be like, oh no, Marissa, like you need to do it like uppity, and she's like, what does that mean? And then
I'm like, it sounds good. Like, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Yeah. But we always like resolve, and then at
these
the end we're like, oh yeah, and at the end we're like super happy that we made the product that we meant to, and like it always comes out better than we expect somehow.
Good vibes. You know how it is too, like once the songs are finished we listen to them so many times, like so many times. If our neighbors could hear them, oh my god, the neighbors
probably
must be,
hate us.
For real.
But I mean, to me it sounds like you guys are very passionate and you want a perfect album, and that's
that
great.
Because
I feel like there are a lot of rap artists out there that just
kind of just
out.
Throw it together,
just so they can get an album out.
Yeah,
and
but the attention to detail, it seems like you guys have that great attention to detail from what you were saying.
Thank you.
Yeah, and
we try.
The sample sounds great.
Oh, thank you.
I'm hooked. I want to really listen to more.
Thank you.
Where did you guys record this? Speaking of, you know, driving around and everything.
We recorded this album at the Milk Boy in Philadelphia.
It's really...
Not to be confused, though. It's not like the Milk Boy. There's one in Center City, and it's just like a bar.
That's a bar.
Yes.
Right.
This is right next to the Electric Factory on the third floor, and they own the studio.
Wow.
It's such a nice building.
Mm-hmm. Like, such a nice atmosphere. Everybody there is super nice. Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah, good vibes. Like, everybody wants to, like, hang out and, like, hey, how's things going? Like, oh, you want to check this out? Like, check my stuff out. All right, well, let me hear your stuff. Oh, like, it's all just, like, a big family
so,
there.
So
yeah.
chill. Like, even before, like, because we show up early. And we'll just sit on the couch pretty much and just, like, hang out there. They actually have, what do they have? Is it a Nintendo? Wait, is it N64 or is it?
I think it is N64,
Oh.
But yeah, they also have
I'm in
old school.
Yeah. I'm not even singing, but I want to play Nintendo 64, right?
But, like, we'll just hang out, and then other people will come up, and it's like, hey, like, and they're like, oh, I make rock music, or I am a producer, or I don't even work here. Like, they just popped in, and they just want to play a game, and they have, like, beer there, too, like draft beer. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's just a cool place.
Wait,
cool
so you're telling me this place has beer, Nintendo 64, and good music. All right, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. Invite me to Milk Boy.
And we might have to change recording locations is what you're saying.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the Chris Middle podcast is changing locations. Sorry, Mike. I know we love your kitchen, but we need to branch out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. My parents would love to hear that.
Yeah, you guys were talking with them before we got down to this interview. So there you go. You're well acquainted with the Costanzos. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. Every guest here on the Chris Middle podcast, they know your parents.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
So, yeah. A little fun fact aside from from recording the interview here.
And they have great zucchini bread, right?
Oh, yeah.
Always.
You saw how fast I ate that.
Yeah. Yeah,
he ate it
down on there.
Shoveled it.
Ate it as fast as I do, which is very fast.
Yeah. Blink your eyes. It
like
was gone.
Three forkfuls, and it's just, boom, gone.
That's how you eat everything, though. It's...
Yeah, you're a very fast eater.
It's too much sometimes, though. People just look at me like, oh, my God, why is he eating like that?
Yeah, this is
But
this
it's
is
homemade
where,
Italian food. You can't go wrong.
Exactly.
You can't, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't get that just any old place.
No.
Definitely not.
Right, yeah. If you got homemade Italian food, you chow down. You can't do can't do anything better than that.
You got to eat a lot of it, too. Always.
That, too. Of course.
You can't step into an Italian household without being fed. And you can't leave an Italian household without being fed.
That's right.
100%.
I'm going to take some of that for the road.
Yeah.
Oh, please. You're more than welcome to.
Thank you.
Oh, surprise. Fifth dinner's coming. your mom's preparing, you know.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. So, hope you guys are still hungry after this interview.
40 seconds and we'll all be gone. Where's the food?
Yeah, don't worry. John will take care
I'm
of it.
Covered in sauce.
He went swimming in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, totally lost my train of thought, but it's great. I love it. So you guys are also from the area as well. Are you guys big sports fans?
We are.
We did a sports sampler earlier.
You guys also said that you were Steelers fans?
We are.
Yeah, we are.
Repping all of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
PA Power.
Yeah.
Nice.
Our dad is a super eccentric Steelers fan.
All about it.
Oh,
He loves the Steelers. He will wear a Steelers shirt. If he can,
like
he
7 days
come,
a week, yeah.
Yeah, no, if he can come to, like, a nice, or go to a nice restaurant, or, like, come over and have dinner in a Steelers shirt, he will do that.
Yeah. So what you're saying, if there's, like, a black tie event, he's wearing a Steelers tie.
He
would love to wear it. Yeah, a Big Ben jersey, like, oh
that's
God,
awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's all about that. So he's kind of got us hooked onto that, to be honest, yeah.
So I got to ask, though, as fans of both teams, what happens if they play each other? How do you come to grips with that?
You root for both offenses when they're on the field. So you want to see both of the offenses do good because you're like, oh, like, this is, you know what I mean? It's awesome. But whoever wins, wins.
Okay.
I personally want the Eagles to win. So
That's what I like.
All right, okay. I'm testing your loyalty.
What about you,
Marissa? Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad. Yeah.
The podcast gonna get released. Your dad's gonna be like, "I disown you."
Yeah.
Well, these are the hot button issues we deal with.
Yes,
Steelers or Eagles.
All right.
Yes. Well, we're probably gonna be kicked out of the Steelers club after we hear this. Yeah. We had to be approved.
Yeah, for a Facebook group.
Yeah, to be in a Facebook group. Steelers group.
Yeah, wow. What, they had to check your credentials?
I guess.
Wow. It's a very...
Yeah.
It's a very elite community, right?
I was like, oh, I might not make the cut here. Like, so now we're...
How many Super Bowls have they won?
Six, right?
How many, right?
Six.
Is it six? Yeah, six.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Did they
pass the one and only test you had?
That was the one that came off the top of my head. I'm just great. You got it right off the bat.
Yeah, that was good.
Six.
Considering we probably will be at the Steelers Club.
Yeah.
So I would probably have to root for the Steelers, unfortunately. I'm sorry, guys. But
that's all right. I'd have to.
One for each.
One for each.
It balances out.
Yeah, there you go.
See,
I like that.
Sibling. Yeah.
The sibling thing works out in everything, in music, in rooting for sports teams.
Perfect. Yeah. That's exactly.
I like it. Balances each other out.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm going to get heckled on like Twitter or something like, you suck. You don't like the Eagles. What's wrong with you?
They're going to love me.
They'll love you.
Yeah.
You can get all the love. I'll get all the hate. We'll have the love hate.
There we go.
Again, balances out.
Yeah. Please keep telling me more about the Eagles. That's Marissa's character. I don't know about Marissa. Well, you know what? Speaking of games, we kind of have a tradition here at the Crispy Noodle whenever we have guests on the show. We like to play games. You know, we're both gamers. And we both like to enjoy some competition here. And this is a game that we haven't played in a while, so I'm glad I'm bringing this back. Yeah, Mike has no idea what I'm about to lead into.
He tells me these things as we record.
Yeah. You
know? The last time we had guests on, by the way, we're playing a game. Okay, why not?
We're going to bring back a goodie called True Detective.
I'm excited about this.
Let's do it.
And so before we did the interview, I had Mike, John, and Marissa write down an interesting fun fact about them. One that was true and one of them that was false. And here's what we're going to do. Everyone is going to receive one of their slips of paper that they handed to me. And no matter what it is, they have to act like it's true. And, the other people will have a minute to interrogate them.
Oh boy.
I have very fancy interrogation music.
Very fancy.
And
the production value is sky high.
Yeah. All right. We don't mess around when it comes to our games.
We throw down when the games are involved. Yeah. That's right.
Exactly. And after that minute, the person who is doing the questioning must take a guess as to whether or not the fact is 100% true or the one that was made up. So who wants to go first? Who wants to be the first?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I'll take it first. Wow. Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
Jumping to volunteer. Yeah. I like it.
Pua! Al Pacino wants to say something.
That's amazing.
Al, calm down. All right,
you gotta watch that soundboard there, man.
Yeah, Al's a little too excited over this game.
Who let him in here?
Damn Al Pacino. All right, let's do this one here for you. All right, now, Mike, you're going to be leading the questioning.
Okay.
And after this minute of questioning, you must take a guess as to whether or not it is absolutely true or absolutely false.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, you can begin the questioning.
Well, he's got to say what it is. Yeah, you're skipping steps here, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a true detective. You got to use all the senses.
Yes.
That's right, including ESP, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Al Pacino threw me off. All right, when I begin the music, that's when you can say what you wrote down as your truth. Okay?
All right.
Everybody ready?
I'm ready.
All right, and let's go.
I was on the golf team.
He was on a golf team.
Okay. Yeah. What golf team?
PW's golf team.
Okay. What was your best round of golf, like, score-wise?
This is a tough one. This is a really tough one. I think I was, like, 27.
27?
Yeah, I got, like, 27.
27? That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's almost like every other hole is a hole-in-one.
Yeah, I was really
good. It was really good.
Good.
Okay. So, what would you say is your favorite type of club?
I like the scooper.
The scooper. That's my favorite, too.
Well, no, there's the driver, and you know, you got the scooper.
So, what exactly does the scooper do? When you use that club?
You really wanted him to volunteer first?
Yeah. Rich is completely checked out here, by the way.
The scooper, when you scoop that, you can launch the ball like 100 feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go, Mike. You've had your minute of intense interrogation.
You know what? It was a very convincing story, but I think I'm going to go with false, probably.
Yeah, that's completely lying. I probably played golf like twice, besides like mini golf.
So
mini golf,
you
should
have probably picked a better lie that you could like actually talk about.
You know what's hilarious about that though is that I despise golf, but he forces me to talk about it every summer. We cover golf like four or five times, so I unbelievably know a lot about golf just from forcing.
You're welcome, Mike.
Thank you. It finally
paid off.
I want to know what you're thinking of Scooper. What do you think?
Is he thinking
I knew I was cooked, so I was just like, you know what? I'm going to make this up.
Yeah, what are you thinking
I'm
of
just
like
going to try
wedge?
To say it convincing.
Are you thinking of like sand wedges and
stuff? What do you even mean by that? What was a Scooper?
I was trying to invent a good name for a golf club.
Oh, my God.
Because I knew, because right when I looked at his face, it was just, he was just like, yo, like, he's completely done. So I was just like, you know what?
When you said 27 and there's only 18 holes on a golf course, I was like, wait. I'm not good at math, but I'm pretty sure that doesn't add up.
All right, well, thank you for a very entertaining
first round.
I tried
I
to make
that.
It entertaining.
I think you did.
It was entertaining.
Just,
thank you.
Probably not in the way the game was meant to be played, but I loved it.
Okay, Mr. Basilphobia.
Yeah.
All right, we've all heard that story.
Yes, we've covered
how
that
How do you spell Basilphobia?
It's exactly how it sounds. Let's move on. Let's move on. Mike or Mercer, who wants to go next?
I'll go. I don't mind.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll be better than my brother over here.
Did a great job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
You did fantastic.
Phenomenal.
I loved every minute of it.
Same.
All right. Here you go, Marissa. This is the one for you.
Okay.
And when the music starts, you can read.
So who's doing the questioning?
I guess it's you.
I have to do. I'm always doing the questioning.
Yeah. Well, except for one is yours.
You're the true detective. That's clearly.
Right.
You cracked
right.
him in like less than like 5 seconds.
That was impressive.
So.
That was a good lie.
Yeah, that was good.
I was
good.
Feeling.
Yeah. The first part when you answered like what golf team you're on, I was like, okay, that's believable. And then it sort of
went
off the rails.
Then it broke.
Like, but it was fantastic to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of want you to do it again, but no, we got to move on.
We can lie all night.
Yeah, we can lie. That could be a new song.
We can lie all night.
That could be a new song for you. You should make that up.
We got to go into the studios and record it. Well, lie all night.
Soundbite samples.
You can have a verse about playing golf.
It'll be incredible.
And I'll have a verse about being afraid of Basil.
There you go.
There you go.
It's perfect.
Hottest record of
the summer. I can do the ad-libs.
It's coming.
Yeah.
2017, 2018. I don't know. We're
going
to take
platinum.
A while.
I'm telling you.
Double plat.
Yeah.
Double plat.
Double plat. Yeah.
Okay.
Where's my snare? Always.
I got the scooper in the booth with me.
Yes.
Yes.
The scooper. I'm going to use that on the golf course.
God.
We got the scooper.
The scooper.
That's trademarked.
Caddy, hand me the scooper.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's allow Marissa to have her time. So when the music starts playing, read off your fun fact, and then Mike will have a minute to interrogate you and determine whether or not it is true or a complete falsehood. So here we go.
Okay. I spent a night with Chris Rock.
She spent? Okay. What do you mean you spent a nice night with Chris Rock?
Oh, I should have specified that more.
What?
We hung out and drank together. And then we went separate ways.
Okay. Yeah. So where was this that you guys hung out at?
In New York City.
New York City. What? Where particularly? Like, was it a bar or a club? Like, where was it?
Well, he was filming in SiriusXM, and I was interning there, and I was helping on the set. And then basically, they all went out to a bar, and I just followed, and I drank with them.
Okay, okay. So, what does he like to drink? Is he a big drinker?
Oh yeah, he loves. First of all, Hennessy and whiskey and vodka, like. This guy will drink anything. He literally likes to get lit, like...
Wow.
AF.
Sounds like a guy I would like.
Yeah, you should hang out with Chris Rock, definitely.
We all should.
Yeah, you all should.
Oh boy. I don't know. What else can I ask? I don't know.
Did he pay with cash or credit?
Oh, that's a good one.
Credit.
Credit?
Credit.
Okay.
Did he treat everyone?
He did. He did treat every single person in there. Well, no, he treated everybody to shots, but he didn't buy like every single drink. But okay. he did get a round of shots for everybody.
Okay. Wow, all that right. was
so. There you go.
Judging by the fact that I ran out of questions
Your
and I was
is up, Mike.
Thoroughly
what do you think?
Impressed with the answers, I'm going to say that that was true.
It's false.
False?
Oh! Marissa!
Wow.
Yeah. Pulling out.
That was good with the interning. Did you intern at SiriusXM?
I actually did intern at SiriusXM.
See, that's what makes the best lies, are the ones that are sprinkled with truths.
Yes.
Because
that's the only reason I thought I could pull that. Like, because he said, when we were
the
like...
scooper doesn't have truth.
I know, man.
You're just full of it all the time.
That's
what
Cooper,
your
man.
Problem is.
Yeah, because when you said the SiriusXM, I was like, that's really plausible. Like, I could see that happening.
Well, the only reason I picked this was because he actually did do a movie, and he actually did, from what I know, did do it at SiriusXM, although they had to, like, rearrange everything.
So I love that lie, because, like, 60% of it is true, and yeah. it's only the last part that
yeah,
is really...
I just never met him.
You convinced me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did meet some pretty cool people, but not him, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh. I wanted to really bad, but...
Who's the most famous celebrity you've met?
Oh, jeez. It depends, like, who you think is a celebrity, mm-hmm. like... I'm trying to think.
All right, well, I'll
in the studio.
What's that?
M. Night Shyamalan was in the studio.
Well, yeah, but
that
was
nice.
I was but hyped. We met him, like, in New York.
Oh, no, I got you.
I guess, like, I would
Cut
say
for you guys being wrestling fans,
Dave Attell.
Oh, nice, yeah. Dave Attell. For you guys being wrestling fans, I met Daniel Bryan.
What? Oh.
He is super cool.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Tell him who we met.
Uh-oh,
who gave us a tour?
Oh, The Undertaker.
We met The Undertaker.
What?
We got a picture with The Undertaker.
Yeah, we
were little kids. Yeah.
Oh.
I also met Seth Rollins. Wow. He was very nice.
Yeah, I was, oh my God.
I met him in
an
airport.
I know some of these names.
Yeah, there you go. Mike is getting
So they must be very popular.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan. Mike's
coming. I don't know.
And the podcast has turned into a cult.
Wait, we weren't already?
Drink the punch.
What about this blood oath I just took? It had nothing to do.
What do you guys have all the candles and the circles of blood out?
Yeah.
Praise the glorious leader.
start singing. That's our chant.
Praise the glorious leader.
Nice.
Mike is always embarrassed because I have like a whole bunch of clips.
Oh,
but that's my favorite
they
one.
They get worse. They get worse. Praise the glorious leader.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, that's good.
Because it actually sounds like that could be a chant. Like start.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's one of my favorite ones.
It's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That could be a second track. On
another
the album.
One on the album.
Yeah.
Praise the glorious leader.
There you go.
We'll just put like a really big, big drop on that. Yeah.
Can we get?
Yeah,
start a remix.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, you're not getting off the hook because it's your turn for this now. Team Urbano, this is your turn.
Tag team.
Oh boy.
This is.
So I got to deal with both of them.
Yeah. This is Team Urbano's chance to grill Mike on what he wrote for his interesting tidbit, and they will have to determine whether or not it is true or false. And Mike, you can begin reading. When I get the music going and go.
So, at the age of 2, I was able to pronounce the word paleontologist, and I would routinely tell people that that's what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Where did you learn that word?
Who from dinosaur documentaries that my parents taped from TV.
What TV station?
Oh, God, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that it was some old British guy.
Old British guy. Okay. Did you pronounce it absolutely correctly, or
yes.
did you have a little bit of like a...
No, I would... People were always amazed, and they would, and they still tell the story to this day, that I could pronounce paleontologist better than some adults could. Man.
John?
A paleontologist is someone that digs up dinosaur bones and studies them, by the way.
Oh, okay. That's another little fun fact.
See, the way you're saying it... Oh. All right. When you learned this word, how often did you say it?
Oh, I would tell it all the time because I always had dinosaur stuff around me. I always had like a dinosaur stuffed animal or a coloring book or something. Marissa's looking around like, I don't see any dinosaurs.
I'm trying to check for evidence.
Did you use this in class?
No, I was 2 years old. There was no class.
Oh, well, that's...
Oh, so much for the tag team.
Oh, you weren't in class yet at 2, loser?
No.
Man,
Why are we on this podcast? This guy wasn't even school.
I was trying to throw him off. I shouldn't have said anything. I was trying to throw you off.
I'm sorry.
I had a plan and it was ruined.
Yeah, no.
Ruined.
That was like the final. Because if you were like, yeah, then I'd be like, ah.
You weren't in school at 2.
Yeah.
I feel like this is true.
They have geniuses.
Is this true? I feel like it's true.
I say it's true. What do you say?
You're lying.
It's true.
Ah!
Oh, nice!
It's true. I love dinosaurs as a kid. At 5 years old, I begged my parents to take me to see Jurassic Park in theaters. They said no.
Aww.
So, yeah. That was quite disappointing. But
somehow, it's a great movie.
It is a great movie. Somehow, it's my favorite movie.
You might have snuck in because I also have this clip of you.
Motherfucking pterodactyl. See? There's audio evidence right there.
So, unfortunately, I do have evidence to... corroborate that.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That is definitely true.
Motherfucking pterodactyl. Yeah. I sing a lot for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, you chant and you sing about dinosaurs.
That's quite all right. That's like, if we're not doing that at our house, my mom's like, what's wrong? Are you sick? Like, what's the matter?
Yeah. I think this could be Mike's like thug theme song. Let's see this one.
Give me my juice box! I need my juice box! I said, give me it now! I don't even remember.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I don't remember why I sang that.
You should do a collaboration with like Rob Zombie, like, give me my juice box and then the main thing.
Yes. Give me my juice box!
Yeah,
I need my juice box! I said, give me it now! I kind of liked your rendition, though.
You
that was good.
You need the Disturbed. You have to do the...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Juice box!
That's right. Yes, exactly.
We need to call Disturbed.
Oh, my God.
ASAP.
Oh, my
get them on the phone.
Yes.
I'm feeling a collaboration, guys.
Yeah. Oh,
they're like, no, no.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot. Gonna drop in 2018.
Exactly.
2018. All right.
Yeah, I'm giving you guys some
giving
time.
Giving them a release date already? Jeez.
Giving them some time.
No, right. 2020. So they can
letting
see
it simmer
it
a little bit.
2020. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, there is one release date that we are looking forward to, and that is the debut album of Urbano, Royal Family. And I'm telling you what, from listening to that sneak preview that you guys gave us, I'm very anxious to hear the whole album. I want to blare it and get ready for the weekend.
Yes,
it sounds
yes,
like
thank
that
you.
Kind, sounds
thank
like you. That kind of music, and I'm looking forward to it. And it was great to have you guys here
thank
on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We had a blast.
It was a lot of fun. And also, people might not know this. We went the whole interview without saying this, but it was a great time to catch up because we actually went to high school with Marissa.
Yes, we all went to high school together.
I have to say it was a little strange when I was writing up the outline of the episode to write like local EDM artist, and it's like I went to high school with this person.
No, we all went to high school. Well,
well
the same
we
thing
went
about
to great
you guys.
School.
You guys went to grade school.
Yeah, we go back
for
further.
Time. We're OGs in the game.
Yeah,
right
OGs.
There. Yeah,
invite me to the club.
Oh, don't worry, you guys will be there. You guys
SmackDown
will...
first.
Yeah, oh yeah, first SmackDown. Yeah, we got to do SmackDown. And
we
then
can go to the club after. Maybe we can ask where they're going to the club, and then we can like party with
that
them.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
I want to meet some of them. I'm definitely like trying to like do some shots with a couple of them.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm definitely in.
I mean, I'll tag along. I don't know anything about wrestling, but sure, why not?
Hey, you will not
it'll
regret it. I promise you. Well, we went for my birthday last year. I was oh my God.
Great time.
It was a good time, to say the least. Yeah, we had some fun, but... John, did you regret going?
No.
You will not regret it.
No.
We won't.
Well,
won't.
Marissa, I love wrestling.
I know.
Did you regret it? Like,
well, I was trying to make it like a pitch, like a sales pitch. Like, hey, like he
hey,
didn't.
You want a fun guy?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that'll be the game plan. We'll get together for SmackDown when it comes through Philly. But tag team Urbano. Thank you guys
for stopping by. Thank you so much.
Definitely our pleasure to have you guys here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Pleasure to be here.
Oh, man. It was great to talk to them.
Yeah. It was a great conversation. It just touched on everything.
Yeah. it's also kind of cool that, like, we went to school with Marissa. So it's like, wow, we know a celebrity.
Yeah. There was shared knowledge there, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
So there you go. That was from episode 174. We got to have him back on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely have to.
It's been too long.
Yeah, definitely have to have them back on as soon as possible. Whenever they come back from touring.
Yeah.
Because, man, you
now
check
that
out.
Now that they're big stars.
Yeah, you check out their Instagram feeds. They're, like, all over the place.
Right.
They're in AC on Saturday. Then they fly to Chicago on Sunday. And, like, they're all over,
all over the place.
All over the place. So,
best of luck to them.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now let's get into what normally would be the next part of the show, would be the entertainment entree, but for this, instead of doing entertainment news, we have entertainment interviews, and we do have a couple of them that we've been very privileged to have in the years or so. And this one that we're going to play first for the entertainers section, if you will, of the entertainment entree is a stand-up comedian that I've been following for such a long time. He started out as a bus driver.
Yeah.
And he grew through his internet fame, and now he is one of the top stand-up comedians around. And that is our very first call with the hilarious Vic DiBattista from episode 163. I can't believe we're actually about to do this. We've got Vic DiBattista on the line. Woo! Yeah. Whenever we have somebody on the line, we have to play the Call on Me music.
Of course.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Man, I am looking forward to this interview. Vic DiBattista, famous comedian, known for the Bread and Milk clip. So much more than that. And we have him on the line right now. Let's go to the call. So, first off, Vicka, how you doing?
Never better, never better. Past couple of years, as I'm reaping the benefits of the fruits of my labor in a very tough business of show.
Yeah, I mean, your career has just taken off in the last couple of years. I got a chance to look over some of your stand-up, and I just love every bit of it. I love how you bring in your Italian family into it, because me and Mike, we have Italian.
We're both very Italian, very stereotypically Italian.
Right. So, I mean, it just resonates with us. How's that worked out for you in creating your stand-up?
Well, you know, it doesn't hurt if you're Italian to like my act, but if you're not Italian, it's pretty universal. It's talking about being married, having kids, growing up in the Italian house. You know, I was a typical, I lived in the basement. Italians used upstairs, that's the museum. We lived in the basement. You had a picture of Jesus Christ shaking hands with Frank Sinatra.
It's so,
you know,
true.
I'm very relatable. I'm like the working man's comedian. I say what people are thinking.
Yeah. And I think you strike a chord with your YouTube videos and your comedy. Because the last couple of years you've just skyrocketed, in your act. I want to point this out too. You recently just passed 80,000 subscribers on your YouTube channel. That is amazing. Good work.
That's
sir.
Nothing. I mean, I got a total of, over 120 million views with all my videos put together. Bread and Milk.
Yeah.
Was the one that put me on the map. That got 15 million. Then I did a rant on Kanye West and Justin Bieber, that got a few more million, but all together, I'm doing these vignettes for 5 years, and Bread and Milk was only 26 seconds, and that got me more recognition than 33 years of stand-up. To social media, I wouldn't be where I am without the social media, and I'm a 55-year-old comedian. You know, that's unheard of. You
yeah,
know, YouTube and the internet is dominated by you know, by these millennials that have mastered it. You know, and I used it to my advantage. I didn't write on Facebook, I'm having a cookie with my kitten. I used it to promote my stand-up. And I'm selling out clubs. I'm selling out theaters. It's just been phenomenal. You know, I'm just riding the wave, man.
Did you ever expect it to get that big? Like, what was going through your head as you're watching these view counts grow and grow?
Never. Of all the videos that I thought would have gone viral, Bread and Milk would be the last one I thought would go viral. I thought it was stupid. I almost deleted it. It's just phenomenal. It's insane. Yeah. There's no rhyme and reason in this business. You know, I'm 55. I'm tired of waiting for the break, waiting for the call. So I did it all myself. I basically did what Dane Cook did with MySpace. I got my own following. through, you know, Facebook and YouTube. And it's just, I'm getting recognized all over airports and stores, Boston, standing ovation in Boston. I mean, it's just phenomenal what's going on. It really is. And I'm just, I don't take any day for granted. I'm just, you know, I started 33 years ago. I kept at it, kept at it. I was driving a school bus for 13 years. My manager sat me down and says, dude, you don't need to do this anymore. And I'm just happy I'm off the school bus.
You've made it off the school bus.
Yeah.
Is that when you know you make it, when you get off the school bus? That's fantastic.
Yes. When parents aren't screaming at you, how come you're late to pick up my kid? Now I'm getting stopped on cold cut lines to take selfies. It's insane. It's surreal. And I love it, man. It's just, you know, I have meet and greets after all my shows. No comic does what I do with his fans. I try to answer them all on Facebook, which is almost impossible. So I have meet and greets. I don't charge you for meet and greets. I take pictures. I shake hands. I stay there till the last person leaves that club. And it comes back to you. People love that. They appreciate that.
It shows a very authentic side of you, and people respect that.
Oh, don't kid yourself. I got my haters too. You know, when I did the Justin Bieber rant, I had little girls on YouTube telling me to kill myself.
Oh man, all those little girls, man, they're so harsh.
Yeah. You're an old man. What do you know about music, old man? But I just blocked them because otherwise I get arrested.
Yeah, it's probably a good policy to have.
YouTube is a very friendly place, isn't it?
Oh my God! I thought Facebook was bad. YouTube is a whole different animal, man. A lot of, I hate to say, those are the future Adam Lanzas on YouTube. It's sick. A lot of the hate is, it's sad, really. Dude, you don't like me? Go to somebody else's channel. Who cares what you think? I'm not going to please everybody.
Right. It's not like anybody's like forcing you to watch the video.
Nice to say. Go to someone else's channel.
What would you say is more stressful, though, doing stand-up or doing the bus driving gig? Because you have done both of them for quite some time.
Oh, I've being on stage comes like nothing. I could get up in front of 3,000 people and wouldn't think twice about it. Driving a school bus, dealing with kids, parents, and teachers, very stressful. And before that, I drove a garbage truck. I once drove my garbage truck to Dangerfield's Comedy Club in New York City, went on stage, did my act. After my act, went back in the truck to finish my route. As I'm honking a horn, the audience is waving at me through the window. I mean, come on.
Wow.
That's my couch story.
That's dedication right there to your craft.
I've always had two jobs. When I used to do the Borgata, a casino in Atlantic City, they would book you there for 7 nights. I would drive home where I lived to New Jersey, get 4 hours sleep. My route for the bus route was in Staten Island.
Do that
7 nights in a row. Back, do a show at night, come home, get dressed, go drive a school bus. It's just, you know, and now everything's coming together. You know, it's hard work. It's you either got to be very lucky or you got to break your ass in show business.
Well, I think you're doing both.
Thank you. I got a great manager. He's been like my Brian Epstein. I mean, without this guy, everything's just coming together. And Kevin James called me out of nowhere to be in Mall Cop 2 because I started with Kevin 25 years ago. You know, we lost touch. He became the king of Queens. I went on to drive a school bus. And he called me because he saw the videos I made. And he said, I got a part for you. I think you're right. Now I'm thinking some guy's playing a joke. I'm like, really? Who is this? I almost hung up on him.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the first time you went into acting.
6 weeks later, I'm in Vegas. It's just amazing.
How surreal is that? You went from, you know, doing stand-up to all of a sudden now you're acting in a major motion picture.
Surreal. When I went to see the movie, I went like a couple weeks before the movie came out because I was hoping I'd see the previews. And my wife said, if this comes up, if you see yourself on the screen, don't embarrass me. Sure enough, you see my big mug. I stand up. I say, hey, everybody, that's me. And only in New Jersey, without a beat, a guy in the back goes, yeah, sit down, idiot. And I'm Robert De Niro.
Yeah, we're here for the movie, pal.
Oh, unbelievable.
That's Jersey love for you. Something else I want to mention is that role is based on one of your internet characters, Tony Gaga.
Tony Gaga.
Oh, my gosh.
I used to do this caricature of a big, you know, goofball. It's like an exaggerated Italian guy.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, no matter what you get, where'd you get that guy? I got a guy. You got a guy. Get this for $2.
Yeah.
And that was an idea for Gino Cesetti and Mall Cop 2, because I tell Paul Blart, what did you pay for that belt? I got a guy. And Paul Blart goes, I don't got a belt, guy. It was a great scene.
Oh, I love that character, too, because I think every family, regardless of Italian, I think every family has somebody like that, that no matter what, one-ups you. You know?
Yeah.
I just love that character. That was a brilliant stroke of genius.
It's so over the top. It's like Andy Kaufman had Tony Clifton. That's right. Like my over the top stupid character. It's a goof. It's a goof.
Yeah. And it works perfectly, because I think we all know somebody like that who just can't stand to be one up. Yep. He has to one up you back.
Exactly. Yep. No matter what you do, he's got to top you.
So to go on further, I hear you're starring in a second movie. Is this true?
Yeah, well, you know, it's nothing like Mall Cop. It's an independent film. It's called Who's Jenna? But there's some big names in it. Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos is there. One of the guys from The Bronx Tale, Joey D'Onofrio. Lenny Venito, he's in it. He was in a sitcom, Neighbors, a couple of years ago. You know, it got great reviews at the Asbury Park Film Festival. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But it's, you know, when you do Mall Cop with Kevin James... You get spoiled when you do anything else.
Yeah, that was actually, I don't know if you know this, that was the first film that was ever shot at the Wynn Las Vegas, a random tidbit that I did while researching this movie. I that's
was there
pretty
for
cool.
6 weeks, I had my own apartment. It was just, it had to be one of the greatest experiences of my life. It was unbelievable. And Kevin James is a sweetheart. We're on the set one day, and I'm looking for my wife. I'm like, where the hell is my wife? He had her sitting in the director's chair. How great is that?
That's awesome.
Good guy.
Here's something else that I wanted to bring up, too, with your stand-up. I read that one of your biggest idols was George Carlin growing up. And I got to say, when I see the YouTube clips of your stand-up, I see George Carlin in you. The hand motions, the over-the-top expressions. I mean, has that really influenced you in your stand-up nowadays?
Other than George Carlin, you mean?
Yeah, George Carlin or anybody else.
Rodney Dangerfield influenced me in my persistence, because he didn't make Caddyshack. He didn't make it till his mid-50s. So I always look at it whenever I get down in the dumps. I'm like, Jesus, where the hell am I going? How come I'm not making it yet? Rodney didn't make it till his mid-50s, and I'm 55.
Yeah. So I got bread and milk.
Colin Dangerfield and Steve Martin has a quote that I live by. Steve Martin once said, "Be so good that they can't ignore you." Yeah. So
I like that.
I mean, I got a call from a major league umpire, Phil. I'm watching him now in the Yankee game. He's a fan of mine. He watches my vignettes. He invited me to Yankee Stadium Wednesday night. He's taking me on the field in the locker room. I mean,
wow.
I'm a garbage man from Brooklyn. I'm not used to this. It's just surreal. It's just amazing.
Wow.
I think that's what allows so many people to connect to you, though, is the fact that you do come from, you know, those hardworking blue collar roots. It just makes it that much more special, the fact that you've achieved so much.
Well, I struck a nerve with people. A couple weeks ago, I took a picture of my wife sitting by the pool, and I said, you know, I never had a pool and the fruits of my labor. And just to see my wife, here's a woman who sacrificed 33 years of weekends staying home to make her husband pursue her dream. And I posted that picture. I got, it's like 100,000 views in a day. And the stories, people are telling me, you're my inspiration. I just got laid off. I watch your videos. And I get messages from soldiers in Afghanistan. My videos get them through their tours. I mean, Jesus. If everything could stay the way it is right now, I'm a happy guy. You know, who the hell am I to complain?
Well, I mean, I think that goes back to that level of authenticity. You don't want to be, you know, superstardom. You just like where you are at. You're at right now. You're happy with where you're at. It shows in your performances, and we love you for it, Vic.
Ah, thank you, thank you. You know what it is? I make people laugh. I mean, what's better than that?
Right.
Especially in this world. This world. It's upside down, and people need to laugh now more than ever. I'm in a happy place right now. I've never been happier in my life. I sometimes think, what if I would have made it early, like Justin Bieber. He got too much too fast. Who knows? I would have been some idiot if I got it. Maybe there's a reason why it's taken this long. Who knows?
Yeah, there's something to be said about working hard for something and you know, really appreciating it when it does come your way.
It's awesome. I work with some of these young comics. They're doing comedy 2 years. They're miserable. How come they're not on Jimmy Fallon? How come they're not doing Jimmy Kimmel? I'm like, dude, I'm doing this 33 years. I'm not even on Jimmy Kimmel. Well, what do you – just work at it. You know, stage time. Just persistence. That's all it is. It's just persistence. And people notice. You know, it's not who you know. It's who knows you.
So is that one of your goals, though, is to appear on one of those late night talk shows?
I'd love to. I'd love to. You know, the ultimate for a comic is a sitcom. You know, I've done a movie now. That's on my.
That's under your belt.
My bucket list. I would love to do a sitcom or a reality show, a good reality show, not one that makes Italians look like idiots. Like Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Can we get a real one? You know, not one of those.
Exactly.
Oh God.
And the idiots that watch that show, they're even sadder than the show itself. How do you watch that garbage?
Yeah.
You know, I'm so tired of the whole Italian gangster, mobster, wise guy. You know, we're a great culture.
So true.
I want to see De Niro play Da Vinci in a movie just once. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Goodfellas. I love The Godfather.
It's been played out,
you
though.
Know, let's do something different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, not every Italian, you know, is a mafioso.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As much as some people
want
to be.
Not every black guy is a criminal. Not every cop is racist. And not all Italians are mobsters. That's the way it is.
One more thing that I want to bring up is, since you mentioned it with the Yankees, I hear the Yankees are your favorite team. What the hell's going on with them right now?
God, I've been a Yankee fan since I go back to Greg Nettles, Thurman Munson, Catfish Hunter. They suck. at the same time, you know, Yankee fans are spoiled. We have 27 world championships, you know, and I don't hate the Mets. I don't hate the Phillies. I just love the Yankees. I pee pinstripes.
that's something that us Philadelphians share, though, is our passionate views towards our sports teams. And sometimes people say we're a little too critical of them. But
it's Philly, Boston, New York. We're a great sports town.
Yeah.
You know, it's like almost a religion, you know.
It is.
You're right.
I love the game. It's a beautiful game. It's just that it's insane. I always said, next time I'm not going to Yankee Stadium, I'll take a free ticket. And lo and behold, I got a call from a major league umpire. It's just amazing.
Maybe you could help them fix the game for the Yankees then, because they need all the help they can get. And I keep hearing that there's like weird injuries that happen with this team too. Like
they're pulling muscles I never heard of. And then one time, Mark Teixeira, he was out because he hurt his toe. I mean, embarrassed to even say that. Why don't you just lie? Say you pulled in a hibiscus, whatever the hell you call those things. I don't know.
Yeah, make up something. Make up something more manlier.
Man, Lou Gehrig played with broken bones and fevers. That's my favorite Yankee. I never saw him play. He died before I was even born.
Well, you know what, Vic? I'm so glad that we finally had the chance to talk to you. And you also have shows at Borgata, and you have a full list at your website, VicDiBattista.net.
.net.
Yeah, not .com.
Go to my YouTube.net, not .com, VicDiBattita.net. Go to my YouTube channel. I got hundreds and hundreds of videos. Go to my fan page. My website has merch. There's so much info. You know, people are lazy. They don't scroll. If it's not in front of them, they don't care.
You're right.
It's stupid. It's just, you got to hold their hands, some of these people. It's amazing. I make it so easy for my fans to find out info about me. You know, I'm at the Borgata, June 17th. I'm on a billboard on the Garden State Parkway. I got email. When are you going to be at the Borgata? How do I get tickets for the Borgata? How do you get tickets? Call Harris. Go to the Borgata website, you morons.
You are right. Yeah, you need to like hold their hand as they order like the tickets and go through the whole nine yards. I understand you.
The questions you get are people are insane. They're insane. How long is the show? Are there tables? Are there chairs? No, you're gonna stand.
Yeah,
you're gonna stand.
Is there a guy to wipe your ass?
Do you curse? Can I bring my kid? Call the place. The hell are you asking me for?
I completely understand.
I got no patience.
I hear you. I hear you on that one. But yeah, make sure to check out VicDiBattita.net. I love this guy. I'm so glad that we're able to get an interview with you. And we, you know, we love your bread and milk clip. We use it every time there's a snowstorm in the area.
Well, guess what? It's not only for snowstorms. My friend in Florida, they use it in Florida right now because of that tropical storm.
Uh-oh. So now we have to use it for hurricanes?
It's good for every emergency. You understand, most viral videos, they come and go. Bread and milk is never going away. It comes back.
It's got staying power.
15 million views right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it just keeps climbing, too. You're right. There's no limit.
It's Norman Rockwell. It's part of Americana now. It's like Christmas carols. You'll see. It was on the Weather Channel last year. It was on The View with Barbara Wolf.
Yeah. They play it on anything that's even remotely associated with a blizzard or something like that. You're right.
Any type of storm, yeah.
Yep. Then I get these idiots, they see me and they say, oh, there's the milk and eggs guy. No, bread and milk. I just threw up bread and milk.
Get it right. It's bread and milk.
They're clearly not from an area that gets a lot of snow.
Hey, I like you on YouTube. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yep, got to get it right. Bread and milk. Got it. So, Vic DiPietro, I'm so glad that you were able to call in on the show and give us this wonderful interview. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah,
thank you. Just spread the word. Philly's a great town. I have faith in Philly.
Yep, we love you in Philly.
You got it, guys. I'll see you in Philly.
That's right. I'll see you there.
Have a great night, guys, and thank you. It was an honor.
Oh, man, and there you go. Always great to talk to Vic.
That was a great one.
Yeah, I mean, we also had the privilege of talking to him a second time.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those stand-up guys. He never lets the success get to his head. He's just always... just real and calm and cool and just
very, very down to earth, very gracious. And we're lucky enough that, you know, he graciously recorded a few bumpers for us. And that was always fun.
Yeah. And we definitely like to use them when we have regular podcast.
Oh, yes.
But we move now from the world of comedy and we go to the world of music, but particularly singer-songwriter, if you will. Because this interview was actually one of our very first interviews ever on the Chris Moodle podcast. And this person actually gave us our first musical performance.
That's right.
Impromptu musical performance. Thanks to Skype for providing that for us. And that is the local musician Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People, all the way back from episode 53. On the line, we've got a musician, a very talented musician. You might have heard of him at the legendary Dobbs in Philly. I mean, that's no joke to make it at the legendary Dobbs. You've got to have skills to make it there. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right.
Oh, that's one of the places, yeah.
Yeah, and ironically, he has the same name as you, as our co-host, folks.
Oh, wait a second. I thought you were talking to me.
This
I'm
is going to be...
We have to differentiate between me and Mike.
Okay.
Call me Mikey.
You're going to be... Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're
Mikey. Go back.
Mikey.
Yeah,
Mikey.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. Well, you know what? You don't need any introduction. How about that? Folks, Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People here on the line. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good here. I have a question for you. Where are you calling us from?
I'm actually calling you at the moment from my living room in Eastern Pennsylvania.
Wow. Hey, that's not that far. I mean, it's a little bit of a drive, but not too far.
It's about an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe take a road trip.
Repping PA, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Always.
Yeah. We love to highlight, you know, local acts in the area. You know, first thing I want to ask you is, you know, just a basic question here. What got you first interested into music?
What got me first interested into music was probably when I was in the fifth grade. And in our pub, I grew up in South Florida, number one. So I'm from South Florida, Jupiter, South Florida, Southern East Coast. And the public schools back then had just introduced a new music program. And so they brought these plastic recorders around into all the classes and asked for students if they would be interested in taking a music course with the recorder. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that up here.
Yeah.
When you were growing up.
It seems every music program has the plastic recorders.
Okay.
Did you consider a career in plastic recorder music?
You know, I really at that point in my the beginning of my career, I didn't really understand the whole like recorder thing. All I knew is it made a, you know, I could make noises with it, and I thought it was really cool. So I got into that program, which led me to play the clarinet in middle school and in high school for the next 8 years.
Wow. So you know a couple of different instruments. What else do you play?
Yeah, I also played the marching, you know, drums and the marching band and stuff. That got me into music. While doing that, I found a love for rock and roll. And along with a few other friends, I just had, you know, started – my first band was an original rock and roll band. So our first gig was actually all originals. And so I've never, ever been in a cover band. I've always written songs. My first song I wrote when I was 13. So it's kind of always been a very creative process for me.
Wow. So you started pretty early then.
Yeah, I started pretty early.
So how did Roy and the Secret People come together then?
Well, that came together, hop, skip, and a jump. From Florida through Philadelphia for 5 years, landed my ass in New York City around 2000, between 2000 and 2001. The band that I was in, which was just called Roy, R-O-I, from Philadelphia, had kind of petered out a little bit. I formed a band with a bunch of friends of mine, and they were all in about seven other bands at the time. So looking back, every month there would be one guy would be in, one guy would be out. So my roster was probably – it probably consists of 13 different people at one point, of people I could call for whatever gig around Manhattan or Brooklyn that I was playing. So then I called it Roy and the Secret People because I never really knew who was going to play what show.
That's actually a really great tactic.
That is. That's a really cool origin story, if you will. So I guess that unique situation is what led you to that. Really, I think it's a really cool name, Roy and the Secret People.
Oh, thanks.
Now I have a question. Yep. When you started out in Florida, did you move from Florida to New York right off the bat?
No, I moved from South Florida to Philadelphia with my band around 1995. I don't know if that was the year of the blizzard or not. I'm not sure. But two of the guys in the band had never seen snow.
Uh-oh.
Well, the winter of 95-96 was the legendary 3-foot blizzard year. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You know, we've had a heck of a winter this year. And, you know, every time it's been snowing, we play this ridiculous clip here. Let me play it for you.
Play it, please.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk.
They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my god!
Have you noticed any change from like people in the South reacting to snow as opposed to us here in the Northeast?
Because we just love you guys that much more right now. That is awesome. My biggest pet peeve thing since I've lived in the North. Well, actually, since I've come back to Pennsylvania. In, you know, here in Easton, is this whole bread and milk thing. I've never understood this. I can't wrap my head around it. When in Florida, so we don't have the snow. We had the hurricanes, right?
Right.
Right.
So our thing was you get duct tape and batteries.
So wait. So let's get this straight. The southern coast equivalent of bread and milk is duct tape and what is it?
Batteries.
All right, we've got our new clip for you. Whenever we've got hurricanes,
you know that sounds much more practical than just bread and milk. I just have to say,
what does that say? You're totally right.
Yeah, we're up here. We're prepared for French toast.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you know, that's comforting.
Yeah, it is.
Not
it
practical,
is.
But comforting. Oh, but that's amazing that they never saw snow before. That's something that up here in the Northeast, we kind of just take for granted because we see it every winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then you moved to Philly and then you moved to New York?
Then I moved to New York and I lived in New York for, I don't know, 11 years, 12 years, and then moved to Easton. I found my wife and I, who I obviously met in New York, found a fixer upper. She's from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So we found a place in Easton and found a fixer upper, a turn of the century house from the 20s. And wow. Unfortunately, it wasn't haunted, but I was, you know. Right. And
yeah, you got to be careful of that. We actually had an odd news story about that somebody claimed that the house that they were selling was haunted, and then they actually got spooked out by their own advertisement.
Really?
Yeah. It was actually one of our odd news sections.
Yeah, I'm all into that stuff, son. I had my hopes up, but it didn't happen.
Of course, you're actually
if she hears this, she's going to kill me.
All right, well, let's go back to the music that you guys make here. What would you describe it as?
Well, as far as the music goes, the best description that I've heard of our sound was somebody had said it was one part Elvis Costello, one part Tom Petty, one part Nick Lowe. You pour it into a highball glass over ice, you add a garnish. It's shaken, not stirred. And I was like, well, okay, I'll take that.
So, yeah, how often do you come across a compliment like that?
So I was happy about that. I said, oh, you know.
Yeah, you have such a variety of different styles and sounds, I noticed when I was sampling some of your music. What's the creative process like coming up with all that? And how do you decide what to play? You have so much stuff going on all the time.
Yeah, I kind of go into each recording with an idea of what I want to touch on as far as background. Like the CD that we released that I released before this was called Dog Street. And that CD, I went in and I was talking to two of my best friends in New York about, and they were producing it. And they said, Roy, we can either go British rock with this, or we can go American with this. What do you, you know, this is where it's leaning, all your songs. Like, what do you want to do with this? And my whole thing is at that point in my life, I kind of wanted to pay homage to a little more of how I grew up in South Florida with classic rock, Southern rock, country music, kind of shoved down your throat. And that's all I was exposed to with blues, everything else. So I kind of wanted to at least just pay homage to that part of my life with that album. With this new record, Phoenix, my producer, who's from London, was like, you know, which way do you want to go with this? And I'm like, okay, now I want to go with my other influences. I want to go with a little more of a pop, like a little bit of a British thing happening, you know, more pop, more layered wall of sound where there's all kinds of like peels of the onion going on with it. And so it's kind of calculated from the offset of where I want to go with the album. And then I try to make the songs as simple as possible in order to those layers can happen whichever way they may go.
I like that. The peels of the onion. I think that's a really cool way to describe it.
Where else have you gone in your tours? I mean, it seems like you're up and down the East Coast. Have you ever ventured out west or into other countries?
Yeah, actually. Funny you say that. I've been out in California a couple times, not a whole lot. I mean, I go out there, like if we're traveling, we have friends out there and stuff. I'll go out there and book some shows. Just, you know, I mean, if I'm vacationing somewhere, I always book shows. But I've had a few shows in south of France, in Barcelona in Spain, in Ireland, in London. So when we go in Sweden, actually, we took a trip to Sweden and we stayed with some friends and they're musicians. And so I went ahead and tagged along and played some shows there. So it's kind of like just going, but without the band. I mean, it's just, you know, and I do play a lot of acoustic shows, solo shows as well without the band, which are just, you know, playing the naked song. So, you know, I kind of just try to play music wherever I go.
Now, what is the experience like when you go acoustic? Because I've heard some musicians, it's like a completely different process for them when they go acoustic. I mean, have you noticed any – do you have any special preparations when you're doing acoustic as opposed to a full band set?
Maybe a shot or two more of bourbon than I would with the full band set. The band, my band that I have now, I have these guys that I've moved here in Easton. So this is like the Lehigh Valley. You guys are familiar with the Lehigh Valley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So these guys are all amazing players here. So there's no more hired guns. There's no more. They're in like 5-6 other bands. Like if I had met these guys right off the bat, it wouldn't be called Secret People. I mean, because I mean these guys are in it. So when I play with them, we have a whole thing, a whole an amoeba kind of thing happening with the sound and the jams and all that stuff. When I play acoustic, then it's just me hammering at the guitar like a lumberjack and a piece of wood. For the naked, just, you know, 3-4 chord song that it is. I mean, you get the song. It's in its most naked form. When the band plays, then, I mean, for example, my dandicellist, my piano keyboardist is the music professor at Moravian College. And I mean, so all the guys in the band have really, really like great backgrounds in what they do on their instruments. So they're able to kind of just jam with one another and stuff, and you know, takes it to a whole nother level besides just me like hammering out the naked song. So you kind of like, it gets back to the basics, like Rambo style.
Like Rambo. All right, I like that, like Rambo style.
It's Rambo with a knife. A knife, a needle.
Nothing is over.
String.
Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
As you can tell, we're big Stallone fans too, don't worry.
Yes.
I understand that you know, since you're home right now, I heard that you've got a guitar with you, and maybe we'll try this out. Would you like to give the Crispy Noodle Podcast its first ever live performance on the air?
Sure.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Let's see if it works.
All right, so you want to play a song?
Yeah. What song would you like to play?
All right.
I know, for the first time ever, you don't have to take requests.
This could be a first. This is the second song that I ever wrote, and it made it finally to an album, which is our newest album, Phoenix, and it's called Sweet Maria.
Okay.
All right.
Folks, here you go. For the first time ever here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Sweet Maria, the first ever live performance here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Take it away, Mike Roy.
Sweet Maria, she was a teacher, had a father's eyes. She stood there waiting, her soul for taking it. Mirrors were her eyes. And all alone she waited for him to come. She could say it. Her horse out in the field and watched it drawing near. Now she watched it get closer, the figure of and cleared. And all alone she waited for him to come and rescue her. She could save him. She left today. She couldn't save. He took her away. He left today. Goodbye, sweet Maria. Dressed in yellow and his duty was supreme. He said, I'll take you to my house where many wonders lay that I've never seen. And she knew when her hand you touched his wing, he had come to take her home to sweet old things. She left today. She couldn't stay. He took her away. He left today.
was amazing.
That was
thanks.
Mike Roy with Sweet Maria. Wow.
That was amazing, Mike.
Thank you very much.
I have a question. Right before you started that song, you did an intro where you said that was the second song you wrote.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a personal reason, but you know, how does a song, you create, you know, that you want to tell to people, you know, kind of fall to the backside, and all of a sudden you get it again and you want to say it again. Like, how does that happen? That it's the second song that you wrote and now it's just coming out, because that was an amazing song.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know. When I wrote that song, we smoked a lot of pot in Florida.
Yes! Honest answer!
And the band I was in at the time, which was a morphed band from my high school band. So three of the members I had known since, almost elementary school. We were called Brother Grimm. And in Florida, and that band, that song, the guitar player had shown me three chords, and I kind of started finding out other chords after he'd shown me the three chords. And, you know, late at night when you're totally, you know, stoned and stuff, you're just messing around with the guitar. And these melodies were just coming into my head as I was playing, you know, the chords. And so I made the song up. I presented it to the band, and they kind of took it over for a little while, and our bass player was from Jerusalem, and he was in the Israeli army for a while. He fought in the Lebanon War, and he was this world music guru. He was probably the best musician in the band at the time, obviously, and he was adding all these world rhythms to it and everything else. And so the early demos of this song were like just sounded amazing. But at the time, that it was never released. It was always demos, and we would do it live. And so it kind of got canned after we moved to Philadelphia. It got canned for a while. And so it didn't really resurface until I started playing acoustic solo in New York City. I started playing all my old stuff, and it resurfaced. And it didn't really get professionally recorded onto an album until this newest album. I really wanted to pay like homage to my past a little bit with that song. So,
yeah, that was great, man.
That was a great
Thank
song.
You.
So how long from first inception to this record, how long did it take this song to finally be professionally recorded?
Oh, my God. It's ancient. It's a long time.
A long time? Okay.
Yes, a long time. I'm not talking a decade.
But it's well worth the wait, I think. Great, great stuff.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
How do you feel, Mike? That is the first ever live performance we ever had here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I feel honored. I love breaking cherries.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Well put, well put.
Oh, yeah, and I'm really in trouble.
Well, folks, once again, this is Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People. Looking forward to see you live here in the city, man.
You guys come out early so we can like have a beer and like, you know, bullsh.
Yes, I will take you up on that offer. One of these shows, I will get a beer with you. How about that?
All right. Well, you have to let me know because the first beer is on me, man.
Oh, all right.
Awesome.
Either way,
man.
Both you guys come out, that's fine. The beers are on me. The first beer.
Good
not, not the second and the third and the fourth.
I'm all about buybacks.
There you go. But I would love to have a beer with you. Folks, this is Mike Roy, Roy and the Secret People. Thank you, Mike, for coming here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Thank you very much, guys. It was an honor.
Oh, man. There you go. Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People.
Got to close that with a musical act.
Yeah, right? We're closing out the entertainment portion with a musical act.
But everybody knows that after entertainment, we get into some weird stuff.
Of course.
This is normally the non-fortune cookie odd news. And you know what? Nothing's really changing.
No, not really, when you think about this.
Because
one.
This interview, now, I know you said Mike Roy was the first interview, Rich, but I think you may be forgetting.
No, first. Did I say first interview? I meant first musical interview. Sorry.
Oh, first musical interview. Sorry.
Sorry.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah.
But the first interview we ever did
Very first one.
I mean, what a way to start off with. Interviewing a politician.
Yeah.
This is our famous interview with, where was he? Tennessee?
Yeah.
Tennessee. Tennessee politician Mark Coonrippy Brown from episode 45. All right, guys. We're playing this because somebody's calling in.
Yep. So without further ado, let's get to our special guest on the line. All right, folks. And on the phone right now, we have what could be potentially the next governor of Tennessee. Folks, please welcome Mark Coonrippy Brown, otherwise known as the Raccoon Man. How are you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. What about yourself?
Doing well up here in Philly. I mean, what an unbelievable story this is for you, Mark. I mean, you know, you posted a couple of these funny YouTube clips, and then all of a sudden you've got this momentum all of a sudden that now you're an internet celebrity. I mean, how was that transition?
Well, it ain't like it happened overnight. It's about 2 years in the making.
2 years? That's when you started first doing the raccoon videos?
Yeah.
I mean, those are really fun. I mean, whose idea was it? I mean, did you say, like, hey, somebody should record me with the raccoon? Or, like, I mean, how did that?
No, it wasn't my idea at all. It was my girlfriend's idea. She's the one behind the camera. She's the one that comes up with the idea.
What? So your girlfriend is the one that records it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty good girlfriend to have, that she's willing to record you with your raccoon.
Yeah.
A good eye to pick up on that. I'm just curious, how did you and Rebecca the raccoon meet? How does a person go about getting a pet raccoon?
Well, I was in the animal control business, and Gunsho, the first raccoon, male, he was orphaned inside a wall up under a bathtub, and I extracted him after the mother had been captured and relocated, not knowing that there was a baby under there. And then Rebecca came to me. There was a local high school that had a chicken coop project, and there was a raccoon in there killing chickens. And the ag teacher ordered two students to go in there and kill the mother with a piece of pipe, not knowing that there was a baby in there. And one of the students got the baby, called me, and I went to the rescue.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's actually a nice hearted story there, that you had to rescue this one.
Yeah, but I wound up being the bad guy.
Yeah, it's funny how it always winds up that way. So you have experience with wild animals in your professional life, and so you just decided to take on this particular raccoon as a pet then?
I had raised the other one. The local authorities had been called over the first one, and they never did respond. And it left me to raise the baby. So I never did call them the second time, because, hey, it was pointless. If you didn't come, you know, over the first one, why even make an attempt to call over the second one?
How did you figure out that, like, the raccoon liked to shower with you?
Well, she just followed you through the house, and she just did what humans did.
So you think, like, the raccoon was trying to, like, mimic what humans do?
Well, probably more, not so much as that, as not wanting to be out of my sight, because she was imprinted.
She was imprinted? What do you mean by that?
Meaning when she had her eyes open, then that's all she knew that she was. No different than when a chicken egg hatches, if the first thing it sees is a human or a dog or a cow or whatever, it's going to follow that as opposed to its mother if the mother's not there.
Oh, okay.
So it sees you as a parental figure then?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then there you go. And that's where the relationship formed, and this amazing story that we read last week on the show came from. I have an interesting question. How do you address the raccoon? How do you address Rebecca? Like, do you actually try to talk to the raccoon as a raccoon, or do you just talk it like a human?
Well, I just talk to it like you would any other household pet. Call it by name, different commands, no, come here, stop, quit. You know, they understand.
Just the basic commands. What pet do you think owning a raccoon is the most similar to?
A cross between a cat and a monkey.
Wow.
A cat and a monkey. I thought my cat was a monkey, but apparently it could be much worse. I guess it could be if you have the high-flying daredevil antics, right?
Well, this thing could use its front paws like we use our hands. It was capable of undoing any type of latch of coon-proofing, so to speak, that I could come up with.
Coon-proofing?
The thing actually evolved overnight.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
That sounds dangerous to have, but that sounds awesome.
Well, if we could take that knowledge, that learning ability that they're capable of doing overnight, and inject that into some humans that I know, it could be a scientific breakthrough.
that would definitely be a breakthrough.
Yeah. Some people could definitely use a boost of problem solving ability.
Oh, yeah, I've got close friends that don't know how to tie their shoe.
Oh, gosh.
So, wait, all right, would your friend who would not be able to tie his shoes, do you think he could escape some of the things that Rebecca has?
That raccoon could probably taught some of my close friends how to tie their shoes, as well as hold a fork and eat.
Wow.
Wow. So Rebecca's also very polite. She handles her fork well.
Yes.
That's awesome. How about, speaking of these, coon-proofing, what's the weirdest thing you've found Rebecca doing in your house?
Well, interesting enough, that back during when Gun Show was alive, I received a pocket knife for Christmas as a gift from my daughter, and I had lost it. I didn't know what I did with it. I knew it was somewhere in the house, but I just didn't know where. And I tore the place apart. Well, Gun Show came and went, died, whatever. And then Rebecca had her free run of the house. And one day I saw her playing with something. And lo and behold, it was my pocket knife. Now, Gun Show evidently had taken it and hidden somewhere. And Rebecca had found it.
Wow.
So I've been reunited with my pocket knife.
So Rebecca the raccoon is actually kind of a master at hide and seek. Oh. She can find things.
Yeah.
You know, your story just really touched us on this show. We thought, you know, it was so sad that you had Rebecca taken away from you. What has the journey been like trying to gain enough support to get Rebecca back?
This journey has been devastating, and we are looking for some type of closure. We had called numerous times to the TWRA, the governor's office. We had written letters. We had the entire United States and other countries sign petitions for us. We actually petitioned out in front of Capitol Hill, down in Nashville, and it just fell on deaf ears. And I finally decided that, hey, it's time that I let the people know that our government doesn't care. They're not listening to the cries of the people. They're more concerned with other issues. We are the people, so to speak. And it's time that our voice is heard. And so I decided to run for governor, and I've pretty much stirred up the stink here in the volunteer state.
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, what made you, what elevated it to you felt that you needed to run for governor? I mean,
I had made mention back last fall that the Honorable Governor Haslam, who I voted for, I said it was going to be kind of awkward that if Haslam is running for governor again in 2014, how is he going to avoid questions from the media about Rebecca when he's got other things to do? And I said, do not forget the raccoon vote. And lo and behold, here I am.
I like that, the raccoon vote.
That's right.
So let me ask you this, all right?
Let's say you win. Let's say you're the next governor of Tennessee. What is going to be your first act as governor?
My first act of government is to reform animal laws. I did not take this raccoon from the wild. It was orphaned. And Tennessee law now says that any wildlife cannot be taken in by a person. Okay, so that means if a baby robin falls from a nest, you take it in the house to try to nurture it, you violated the law. If a child picks up a box turtle, takes it to school for show and tell, he has violated the law. And we need a little bit of common sense when it comes to that type of law. No, do not go out and rob a baby out from under its mother. But in the event the mother is dead or whatever, the baby has been orphaned,
mm-hmm.
and orphaned having its own meaning, then it should be up to that person or persons that meet the requirements to know how to care for said animal in that particular species. Then they ought to be able to raise it without Big Brother kicking the door in and coming in and seizing it and sticking the needle in it. Well, the Rebecca law. That's the first thing I'm going to do. Then we'll worry about other things. We've got to cater to the people first.
And that would definitely be newsworthy, especially if you complete the circle and you call it Rebecca's Law or something. Like, that would be a great conclusion to this story.
That's what I'm here for. I am the voice of the people.
And I also wanted to ask you this question, all right? In your announcement video that you were going to run for Tennessee governor, you said that you're going to be unlike the other politicians, and that if you wanted to call your governor, you would be there to answer. And I've got to admit, sir, when I got your number in an email, I called that number. I thought for sure I was going to get like an assistant or something, or maybe like your girlfriend. And instead, I actually got you. So I want to give you props that the number that is, that people refer to whenever they're dealing with contacts, with your campaign is your number. That's awesome. You know,
even in Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, whatever, we've all got state representatives, congressmen or whatever, and they all have their phone number posted on their website. Well, they just as well post a 900 number because they're not going to answer the phone, and that's wrong. Do not post a phone number that you're not going to answer if you are voted for and put in office by the people. Answer the phone.
Wow,
that's all I'm saying. If you put me in office, I at least owe it to you to answer the phone when you call.
Well, you really are the people's champion. You have a great cause that people can get behind. You're very personal in the fact that you answer your own phone calls, something that a lot of politicians probably don't do.
All of them don't.
Yeah, all of them don't do that.
Yeah.
I'll never stay out of touch with the people who put me in office.
Well, that's commendable.
That's just wrong. You don't get elected to an office and go inside and lock the door and pull the blinds.
That's right. That is definitely a good stance.
And like I said in the video, we got to bring this country back one state at a time, and we're starting with Tennessee.
Wow. So what do you think your chances are of actually winning this race?
Slim or none.
But you're still going to try, right?
Well, from what I've gathered so far, every one of the Democrats just running has dropped out of the race because this is going down in history as one of the most bizarre elections in the state, in the history of the United States election. So we'll see what happens. But even in my case, a no win is still a win by the publicity we have brought to government not paying attention to the cries of the people.
That's right, because, you know, hey, right here in Philadelphia, we picked up your story and we covered it last week on our show. So, I mean, your message is getting out there.
Well, I say we are one nation under God, not above God. Like I said before, I'm not here to smooth anybody's fur. I'm going to tell it like it is, as they say. And if I can't get an amen for you, I'm going to say it myself, amen.
I like that. Yeah. If I don't get an amen out of you, I'm going to say amen for myself.
That's right. If I can't get one out of you, I'm going to say it for myself, amen.
I like that. I like that slogan.
That is a great attitude. I just want to say that your story is amazing, and what a noble cause. I think you really, even if you don't win the governorship, I think you've done a great job in raising awareness for animal rights and just trying to create change in that field.
Before I go, remember, Swamp Music 12, come and join our Facebook page, or at least visit us at swampmusic12@youtube.com.
There you go, Swamp Music 12. Check it out online. Do a Google search. I'm sure you'll be able to find all of his videos. Once again, Mark, thank you for coming on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You did live up to your promise. I called you up and you answered.
There you go.
That's right. He's changing things. Folks, Mark Coonrippy Brown, the Raccoon Man, here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, you be particular.
What was that?
What was that?
I said you be particular.
Be particular? Is that your way of saying goodbye?
That's right.
I like that. That's cool. Be particular.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Oh, man. And there you go. Mark Coonrippy Brown. You be particular.
You be particular. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I had forgotten all about that.
Should we close? I think we should bring that back. We should close out every episode. You be particular. Yeah. Mark Coonrippy Brown gave us that great interview. Yeah.
And there you go. Running the gamut of different genres and different people from different eras of our podcast. And it just goes to show you just the depth and the broadness of the types of people we've had on.
Yeah, and really extremely grateful that people have come onto our show and have talked to us, and you know, we've had a blast having them on.
Wish we could have put all the interviews in this episode, but then you'd still be listening 3 hours from now.
Yeah, it would be a very, 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 very long podcast.
Yeah, but who knows? If people enjoy this, maybe we could do another one, you know, next season.
Yeah, or the next time we need to take a random week off.
Next time one of us has surgery.
Or that too. all's well that ends well. And we are going to end this week's episode. Thank you for listening to this Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure that you like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And you follow us on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. And make sure to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, interviews, and best bits. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo that you can listen to easily on the go with friends and family. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Actually, one of the earliest ones is features Mike Roy.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because instead of bread and milk,
it was batteries and
duct tape.
Yeah.
So
I remember that. Uh-huh. Yeah. So there you go. Relive some of our favorite old memories with those promos. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Shoot us a tweet. See what we're up to. And, let us know what's happening in your world. And who knows? Maybe you can get to chat with us. Why not?
Yeah.
You know?
And really, who doesn't want to chat with us?
Right, of course.
Obviously, look at all these amazing people we've had on in the past.
I know, right? These guys want to chat with us.
Right, so why don't you guys want to chat with us?
Yeah, let us know. Shoot a tweet at us, and we'll reply back to you, all right?
Absolutely.
But for now, we got to wrap this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. And also, once again, thank you to all of the people that we've had on the show and all the people that we will continue to have on the show. Thank you guys so much. But for now, that'll wrap it up. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.